The Night Train is brought to you by St Andrews Hotel, 128 Nicholson Street, Fitzroy. Beautifully crafted, cosy and intimate spaces for your drinking and dining experiences.
I think the Knights, their time has arrived. I think last week, that 10-man performance in the preliminary final was absolutely exceptional. So I'm going for the Knights.
But when you talk of Knights, it's a real fighting team.
Wooscock into the back of the net. Melbourne Knights take the lead 1-0. Melbourne Knights will win the Doherty Cup.
Croatia looking for a finals berth. That's it! The Croatia fans salute the goal. That could be so vital.
And good evening, Knights fans. Welcome back.
Gee, we're shaking off the rust tonight, Zoma. Oh,
look, we are shaking the rust off absolutely everywhere. We're wrapped to be back, Josh. NPL football is back on. We've got the Euros flying around. It's a good time to be a fan of soccer, Josh.
Well, it's fantastic to have NPL to watch, to have so much football come at you from all angles. It's actually almost a full-time job to keep track of it all.
Yeah, it definitely is. My sleep has definitely taken a hit in the last couple of weeks with the Euros and everything else on, but...
You're off with the fairies before the show tonight, mate. I didn't know if you got to turn up.
Mate, I was all over the shop. But these things happen. You know, Croatia played over the weekend, Knights played on Saturday night. These things happen.
We were about to go to air and we went, we haven't redone the set.
Yeah, there was...
There's no shirts up. It's mad scramble before air. Behind the scenes.
We'll have all that dust. The rust and dust. Dust it off tonight as we're coming back into the show. No sound.
Let's keep going.
However, we've got a massive show for you tonight. Obviously, we've got the results from the weekend to talk about. We're going to have the live cross again with... what's quickly becoming a fan favourite, definitely fan favourite of the radio show. Young Felipe will be joining us tonight. And we've got our junior news, women's news, and we'll have a bit of a chat about what everyone's been doing to keep themselves entertained through this miniature lockdown that we've had over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, look, it's been pretty horrible being locked inside, no football, no commentary gigs. I've hated it. Luckily, the Euros came along sort of just in time.
Just in time. But, yeah, look, I think we're all, you know, we've stuck together. We've gotten through it again and we're happy that it's behind us and we're getting back to some sense of normal and back to our football.
And fingers crossed we'll have crowds at the games this weekend. I'm hearing good things. It's not confirmed yet, but...
No, we're definitely hearing good things so far coming out, but just to reiterate to everyone, and we'll bring this up a bit later when we're discussing this week's upcoming fixture, as it stands at the moment, we will not be allowed to have any crowds for the home game, or it'll be a very, very limited number. But, you know, keep looking at checking up on the club socials. As soon as we are informed of anything coming forward, we'll be announcing it to everyone and, you know, hopefully the government opens things up. The signs are promising. Mm. However, FFV will come out with that information when they do and we can only hope for the best. And, look, I hope to see all of your faces down at Knights Stadium this Friday night. However, it's out of our hands for the time being. So,
yeah, look, just keep your eyes glued to the socials and everything. I'm hearing that there will be announcements one way or the other on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So hang out until then and then we'll be able to tell you for sure. But fingers crossed and whatever happens, it's going to be a cracking game this Friday night.
Oh, absolutely massive game, but we'll get to that later. We've got a few things to do that we normally do to kick the show off. But, you know, me and Josh, we've missed each other. So we thought we'd have a little bit of chat with you guys present as well. So quick shout out to our sponsors, IMD Group, Living Gems Lifestyle Resorts, Melbourne Croatia Soccer Club, the Australian Croatian Clubs of Melbourne and Geelong, Adcon Group, Evolve Reinforcement, Empire Global, and as always, the show's personal sponsor, the St. Andrews Hotel down there on Nicholson Street. So thank you, Tony. And to all the rest of our sponsors for staying on board this week, I'd like to have a quick little, just give you a bit of a spiel about Living Gems Lifestyle Resorts. So Mr. Puljic, who runs that, also the president of at Gold Coast Croatia, who was so generous enough to put his hand forward to take on the Croatian soccer tournament for this year, which again will be that first weekend of October, become a staple of our calendar over these last 40-odd years. And Mr. Puljic and his family from Gold Coast Croatia have, and them and their club, not just them, obviously, have put their hands up to take that on. But it's through the work that he does with Living Gems that these things are possible. So Living Gems was one of the first to pioneer the concept of value for money retirement living, designed specifically for over 50s. Their newest resorts provide affordable quality homes, and it's the best, actually has been confirmed, country club facilities for the exclusive use of our valued homeowners. Living Gems have perfected the ultimate retiree dream. So if that's something that you're interested in, go have a look at their website and support our sponsors. But Josh, we've had the football back this week, so to give our juniors a quick recap for the weekend, our Mini Roos under 8s with a 6-1 loss to Brimbank Stallions, under 10s Ivan with a 6-3 loss to under 10s Jack. So it looks like they played a little intra-club game there, which means under 10s Jack had a 6-3 win. Who saw that one coming? The under 11s with a 2-1 win against Sydenham Park. The under 12W with a 2-1 win over Yarraville. The under 12K with a 3-1 win over Keilor Park. The under 13s A's with a 5-0 win over Caroline Springs George Cross. In the NPL teams, the under 14s with a 3-1 loss to Hume. The under 15s with a 2-0 win over Heidelberg. Under 16s with a 1-0 win over Brimbank. And the under 17s with a 2-1 win over Geelong. So pretty good round of results there from our juniors.
Absolutely.
Seems like they've been absolutely chomping at the bit to get out of lockdown and get back to football, because that's a great round of results there.
And from the enthusiastic celebrations we saw in some of the games.
Definitely, we've seen some magic celebrations from over the weekend from our juniors. I believe we've actually got a bit of a video of that, Josh.
Yeah, okay. If we can roll that video of the juniors playing and celebrating after that result.
Oh, look, you've got to love the passion and celebration from even those of our youngest teams, but we've got some pretty good footage here.
Magic.
Well, Josh, look, from the passion we've seen there, I'm sure the terraces down at Knights Stadium are going to be full for many years to come.
That's great. I love it.
You love to see it.
Is that a new one, or is that a dressing room song that's been around for a while? A
dressing room song that's been kicking around for a bit there, but, you know, club philosophy has gone down the whole way, and as you can see, juniors absolutely love it. They're the sort of things that you love to see. That's what you love about football, the passion from... You know, that for them, that's just unbridled joy. You know, you get a good win for your team and for your club over the weekend. You get to celebrate it with your mates down at your club. That's something special.
I think the celebration songs are a really important part of club culture.
Definitely.
You know, we've obviously got our own personal songwriter here on the night train, but those lyrics are a little bit inappropriate for youngsters sometimes. So.
Oh, they definitely can be, for sure.
But I do really value the kind of build-up of that culture from a very young age, and that's fantastic. That's a really good one as well. I kind of hate it when there's just the generic, you know, everywhere we go or whatever. It's a grand old team, you know, just give me a break. It's so AFL.
You know, you're a different sport, you're a different code. Mm. Like, you know what, there's so many great songs in soccer that you could go to. Like, you know, take a bit of time, put your mind together between you and everyone else involved at your club and come up with something that's not your, we just went to the internet, Googled the 5 most common soccer team songs and we're just going to pick one of them. Like, Use your brain a little
yeah,
bit.
Exactly. And that's some good lyrics. And finishing with a Croatia chant is always going to be a winner.
Oh, so. Look, that for me is always going to be the highlight. You know what I mean? Like, the song's great, but it's that round of Croatia at the end. Look, it's pepped me up, Josh. I was half asleep before the show started. I'm G'd up now. You love to see it. You really do.
So great. Do you know which team that was?
I do not know what team that was. We've got the footage.
Chuck it in the Facebook Live comments if you know, so we can congratulate them.
Whack it in the comments. We'll give them a quick little shout-out. But, no, that was sent to me through Susie Corlish and everyone else involved down at the juniors. And, look, I watched the video and, you know, it's fantastic. So I thought we'd better chuck it on, show the people out there what our club's all about, the ones that don't know,
mm-hmm.
you know. Something special. But anyway, so keep going with the score wrap-ups for over the weekend. In other junior results, should have actually probably read these out before we showed that video because they're all under the same setup. But the Mitiaroo girls with a 9-0 win, the under-12 girls with a 2-0 win, under-14 girls with a 8-1 win. So great results there, just capping off another great weekend for our juniors. Unfortunately, the women's senior reserves, well, all the reserves and seniors, didn't have quite as good of a result. The Rezies with a 2-0 loss, seniors with a 5-3 loss. Season is proving to be a little bit tough for the girls, but hang in there. I'm sure things will turn around. It's just the nature of football. Sometimes results aren't going your way, but I'm sure they'll come good.
It's a tough competition this season. A lot of really serious clubs putting resources and lots of good players wanting to get promotion to the top league, which hasn't been an option for quite a while in the women's game to actually open up that pyramid. So the standard was always going to be a step up this season with those clubs promoted to the WSL.
Yeah, look, it is funny that the nature of a promotion relegation league really providing some better players and better teams.
It's funny what a structural incentive will do for the quality of a competition, isn't it?
It really is phenomenal what a little bit of incentive has the potential to do to a league and the clubs associated.
We're just talking about women's Victorian football, right?
Just talking about women's Victorian football now. Give our under-19s, unfortunately, had their game washed out due to the lovely weather we had last week. Melbourne once again delivering the goods on a beautifully dry week last week, Josh. Of course it wasn't. It was absolutely soaked. So unfortunately, their game got cancelled due to the pitch being under about a fair bit of water. The under-21s with a great 1-0 win. Boys fought out a really, really tough game and managed to hang on to a solid result. First time they've beaten a team in the top four this year. We are top five this year, rather, with us being in sixth and Hume being in fifth. So
Hume's got a good junior program
as well. And they've got a solid junior program. Look, the fact the 19s didn't have to play on the Friday night probably helped. But, you know, shout out to all of the boys for a fantastic result. And obviously our senior team with a fantastic 3-2 win over the weekend. But we'll be back to talk a little bit more about that and the rest of the results from across the NPL after we come back from this short break. And welcome back. Now, I hope we got volume this time because it's been brought to our attention. Volume wasn't ready to go at the start of the show. So we do apologise for that, like we mentioned.
Shaking off the rust.
Funnily enough, mentioned while the volume was off, we've been shaking off the rust since we got back in. Unfortunately, the lockdown does lead to, as shown across a few of the results on the weekend, you know, you have a couple of weeks off and things don't always come back firing exactly how they were beforehand.
No, honestly, if there's one silver lining from going into the lockdown again, I think it's given the Knights a bit of a chance to reset and rest and get some players back from injury. You know, had a couple of less than ideal results before the break.
Mm.
Perhaps the Knights, more than any other team, have actually benefited from a couple of weeks off just to rest and recalibrate.
Yeah, look, I think it goes for not just us, but a few teams in and around the league. You know, that mid-season period is when your squad depth and everything else sort of gets tested. Then, unfortunately, you know, we're carrying probably a few injuries, and a couple of weeks off probably hasn't hurt us maybe as much as it hurt a couple of other teams in terms of them needing to get that game time going, you know, with fully fit squads. You know, someone like Bentley, who had injuries at the absolute wazoo at the start of the season, you know, that the lockdown probably came at the wrong end of the season for him. So you started a couple of weeks later, you're maybe looking at them at a totally different life from the season's beginning. But, you know, the lockdown giveth and the lockdown taketh away. So when it goes your way, I suppose you take it on the chin and you smile.
Yeah, I mean, Bentley didn't have it all their own way at St Albans yesterday, I have to say.
Definitely not.
Any transfer intel coming through for you, mate? Inside information for the Premier?
No, look, I've got Chris Kamara just sending me a few tips for the Euros tonight.
Awesome.
The St Albans Bentley game was absolutely massive over the weekend. Bentley, in the end, coming out 3-1 winners, but a cagey affair.
Yeah, I did appreciate the amount of backflips on display. First from...
you got to love to see that. you got to love to see a backflip or two. You know, you get to see 2-1 game from two different players. That's, I think you're cooking with gas, mate.
But it's more important to bring the acrobatics and the skill and quality on the field and not in the celebrations. And we've got a young man joining us on the Zoom call now who does just that. Really shone on the weekend in that 3-2 win over Hume City.
Absolutely. Insert the word, you know what I'm talking about. Flyer on the weekend from this young fella. Felipe Sanchez, welcome to the Night Train.
Hey, how are you?
Wonderful, mate, especially after that result on Friday night. How are you and the rest of the boys feeling to be back in the change room and running back out on that field as a squad?
You know, it was pretty exciting, yeah. After, like, a long break we had, coming back against Hume City, like, such a good game to play. It's, you know, it was pretty exciting. And I guess you could tell from, you know, the game we had, we played really good and, you know, it's pretty fun coming back.
You seem to be enjoying yourself, Felipe. Involved in that first goal pretty centrally, and you seem to be growing in confidence each and every week. What's the experience been like, you know, getting slowly eased into first team football, playing against men?
It's been all right. It hasn't been, I don't know, it's just, I guess you just got to get used to it, like in the first couple of weeks, first couple of games. 2 years ago, I played for the seniors and when I was in under-20s, and it was a bit, you know, it was a huge jump, like, for me, like, I played against Bentley, and it was such a tough game for me to play, like, everyone was so strong and everything, and I feel like this year I've gotten a bit stronger and, yeah, more used to, like, senior football, NPL.
Yeah, well, look, mate, you've definitely shown a bit of an improvement from, you know, that young whippersnapper that came on for his first games a couple of years ago at Bentley. Talk us through how you think the game went on Friday. Just how was everyone feeling coming into it, given the couple of weeks off and boys put in a pretty good performance?
You know, like I said before, everyone was pretty excited to play again. First half, you know, we basically controlled the whole game. You know, we had them on the back foot. Just, you know, I think we scored the first two goals in like the first 30 minutes. So, like, I think we did pretty good. Like, for our first game in like 3 weeks, I think all the boys would take that, you know.
No, 100%.
What's the biggest impact of having a couple of weeks off? Is it the physical fitness dropping off? Is it just general rustiness with your teammates and the fluidity?
I think it's probably like doing the program that we were given by the coaching staff. Like doing it by yourself, I think that's the hardest part.
Is that the motivation to without that competitive tension of training, I guess?
Yeah, exactly. But now everyone's back and, it, you know, it's pretty exciting, like I said.
Yeah, well, look, mate, you know, we're all wrapped to have yous back. But just personally, you've been a Knights player for quite a while yourself. Talk us through your, I suppose you'd call it, your footballing journey to this point.
I played in a couple of clubs before Knights. I started at Moreland Severus and then I went to Avondale and then I went back to Moreland and then I came here like 2 years ago in the 20s with Ben, and that's probably like my best year I've had in my career, I reckon, like in terms of, like, you know, because Ben gave me a good chance to play in under-20s. He was like, you know, he was pretty fun and I'll play in seniors, you know.
So is he probably the biggest influence on your career so far as a youth coach?
I reckon, yeah, probably. I mean, he gave me a pretty good chance to play under-20s 2 years ago. And I was like a new player here, you know, like, you know, nobody knew me and just him giving me a chance, you know, just gave me a lot of, I don't know, I guess motivation to, in my career, I guess. Yeah.
Everyone's pretty impressed with your close control, your technical ability. Where does that come from? You've been playing on the street for a long time. Is it futsal? Is it playground stuff? Like, how long have you been, you know, how long have you had a ball at your feet? Where does that close control come from?
I don't know. I think I've been playing since I was like five. So maybe it's from there, just all these years.
Or maybe you've been playing just a fair bit of FIFA.
Yeah, probably. No, I'm really not sure. I guess it's just, I don't know, born with it, I guess. I'm not sure.
Has that always been a part of your game, wanting to take players on and get past players, nutmeg players?
I guess, yeah. It's pretty fun. You know, like, you know, 1v1 and you beat them. You know, it's a good thing for the crowd to see. And, like, you know, that's one of the most important things for the fans to, you know, enjoy watching us play and, you know, yeah.
No, well, look, mate, I think everyone's absolutely loved what you've had to show so far in the season. How are you feeling about the game coming up this Friday night? Absolute massive game for us at home. How are you feeling coming into the fixture?
Yeah, pretty excited. It's a big game against Avondale, like the top of the ladder, like 5 points ahead. So if we get a win, which I know we'll be up there with them.
I love the confidence.
Well, yeah. Avondale obviously have had a great season so far. They're an impressive team, and that makes it a big game regardless. But there also is this kind of rivalry between the two clubs, certainly between the supporters. Do you feel it too on the pitch, the little bit of tension and I wouldn't say spite, but it's a little bit of spite.
Oh, look, we're not their biggest fans, let's put it that way.
Do you feel it as well when you're playing against them?
I could say that, especially against when we played against South Melbourne. Like, it's literally like the same. Same rivalry. It's like a huge game. You know, tackles flying in and all that.
There were some tackles flying in on Friday night. There was one in particular that drew our attention. It was only given a yellow card somehow.
I can't remember who was that on the pitch.
I think it was Petrov.
Yeah, it was McGuigan.
Got the good one.
Diving in on Petrov.
It's poetic justice that he got his second yellow later in the game, but... You know, some of the red cards I've seen given this season, Nicholas, you know, I don't know how he stays on. Do you have a good view of what happened there, Felipe, or do you just sort of run over and just get him stuck in for that little bit of argy-bargy?
Nah, I'm too small for that. I think Petra was all right. I don't think he got him that good. I think he was just like faking it a bit, but he got a yellow card, so we'll take that.
Well, he did a good job because it looked horrendous.
Yeah, if the video, look, I didn't see it in this first game. We've missed it, obviously, because crowds can't go. But from the video footage, it didn't look great. So if that's acting,
he deserves an Oscar.
He deserves an Oscar because that was phenomenal.
Felipe, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have a celebration planned for if
we
you
want
score
flips,
on
mate.
Friday night?
We want flips.
Nah, I can't be flips. I'll break my neck. I don't know. We'll see.
Knights fans, stay tuned. Felipe's got something cooked up for this Friday. I can feel a goal coming from you this Friday, mate. I don't want to put pressure on you, but I've got a vibe.
Got a good feeling?
I've got a vibe, mate. All about the vibes.
Felipe, best of luck, mate.
Best of luck. Hopefully we all get to come down to the club and see you and the rest of the boys have a hit out. But good luck and hope to see you on Friday night, mate.
Thank you.
Felipe Sanchez,
favourite of the show.
Absolutely.
You love him, don't you, Josh?
I have been building him up a little bit, I have to say. Yeah, but I think with reason. I think it's justified.
Yeah, no, look,
I have a habit of getting slightly over-excited about certain profile of young player, like regardless of the level. Like Tilio at City, for example. These little guys who are really technical and love to beat a player. This is my favourite sort of footballer. Because it's almost defying the odds. Like, you know, this guy's half the size, but he can still leave you on the ground.
Yeah.
It's
that's why
always entertaining.
Players like Messi, look, you look at the career he's put together, he's 5'5", if that, and one of the greatest to ever play the game. So
I think it's probably because I was, without wanting to go into psychoanalysis, probably because I was really small when I was a kid, and they're like, we're watching these little players on TV like dominate, even though they were tiny, gave me so much
false sense
of
hope.
Not that I could ever.
I had the same feeling watching Shuey Jew win a premiership, mate. It is what it is.
Gives hope for the rest of us.
Hope for the rest of us, for the average punter. But massive, like we said before, Josh, absolutely massive round of results to get through from the weekend. So obviously we've touched on the 3-1 Bentley win over St Albans. But probably to me one of the shock results of the weekend, Port Melbourne 1-0 over South. With, I've called one or two goal of the year contenders this year in coming out of the Nightshirts, but I think we might have one here, Josh.
I think this is it. I don't see a goal surpassing Chris Duggan's overhead kick. Now, it was so acrobatic.
It was perfect, so well struck.
I didn't know they taught players to do that in Scotland.
No. Look, for me, from Scottish footballers, they tend to be very meat and potatoes, but that was phenomenal.
That was absolutely incredible.
I'm probably going to have to back you in there. I think that's probably going to end up being the goal of the season.
It's that, or Valentini did score a ripper against Dandy City away.
Yeah.
It was a good angle on the camera. I think the camera angle really did him a benefit.
The camera angle,
because you could see it move in the air.
It was good, but
it was a long ranger.
Mate, scissors win it.
I think
game of street soccer you've ever played told you Shkade win it, mate.
Yeah, and it wasn't just any scissor kick. That sounds ridiculous, but it was, he had to run backwards to make up the ground. It was from quite a long way out.
Mate, that absolute phenomenal hit, and for me that's probably going to be, if it doesn't win it, someone scored an absolute belter from now till the end of the year, but...
Yeah, I mean, massive. What a call from Tao as well.
Yeah,
good to have Tao back.
If after the show, guys, jump on and have a listen to the call and watch the goal, because it's absolutely phenomenal.
Goosebumps.
But, you know, we've got some comments coming in here. James Baxter, in all seriousness, great season so far and tremendous to see another young player coming through at the club. So congratulations to Felipe from him. And Maxi Sentich, keep smashing it, Felipe. Let the quick feet do the talking.
Love it.
Oh, you got to love that. Like, he's not getting it stuck into an argy-bargy. He's sensible enough to know he's just not big enough for such foolishness. So he puts people on their ass by knocking the ball through their legs. And you got to love to see that.
James says, yeah, but Valentini acts like a pelican throughout the 90 minutes, Josh. Look, to be honest, I think Stefan would be the first person to agree with you, James.
Yeah.
That's part of his shtick. It's just to try and like rile people up and get into their heads.
Yeah, well, look, he definitely is a pelican. He definitely is a pelican, but...
It's all part of the competitive advantage.
Look, you've got to love it, though. You love that.
It's a kind of a pantomime villain thing. It makes the game more fun.
It does. You know, it's no good when you go there and you kind of like the other team. You want to go there and have someone you actively dislike. He fires you up, mate. You love it's the best, mate.
You love to hate him.
You love to hate. That's the nature of football sometimes.
100%.
But to roll on with the results, Oakley Cannons with a 3-2 win over Altona Magic. Great game here, Josh.
It was, I mean, oh God, Altona, they just find new and exciting ways to lose every week, don't they? Like, they just can't win a game. They should have won this game, really.
But
they had all the momentum.
We've probably said that about 6 or 7 times this year.
So it just speaks to, I don't know, a lack of leadership, perhaps. The coaching situation's been very interesting in Altona this season.
I feel like we've talked about Altona's inadequacies just about as many times as we've mentioned our senior team this year. It feels like we're talking about it every show.
It's the same story every week. It's kind of like watching a car crash in slow motion, and you can't kind of look away. It's very compelling.
You can't turn away. It's compelling. Like, I mean, you get a coach sacked within your first couple of weeks of the season. The merry-go-round goes on and on down at Altona.
Next week on The Bold and the Beautiful at Paisley Park. It's always just melodrama.
Seemed to be a few
what
people.
What a goal, though, from Joe Knowles. How many times has he done that this season, just bailed Oakley out? Oakley have been very disappointing based on the quality of their squad.
Yeah,
like, the actual performances. The results have been okay.
The results have been good. They've done enough to keep themselves from having the conversation we're having about Altona, which is how are they not winning games? You know, with Oakley, it's how do they keep winning games, given how they've been playing. But, you know, they just keep rolling on. I mean, the talent they've got through that squad, someone's just bailed them out.
Yeah. I mean, Thurtell's always in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Knowles comes up with the goods. Deco has scored a couple of bangers, especially that one against South where he definitely handballed it but then volleyed it in. And, you know, they've just had everything fall their way. I mean, they didn't have Joe Guest for this one. He's in quarantine because he was an exposure site. So he's out for this game tomorrow night, the FFA Cup game that's finally happening, Preston Oakley. So that's an interesting one. It's a shame there's no crowds for that one, because would have been sensational.
Look, I have heard a couple of rumours that, you know, Oakley potentially did spread COVID just so 2,500 Massos didn't rock up at the game.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him, you know, with everything Arky's done this year.
He's a Machiavellian operator.
You know, that unknown stool sample of COVID that popped up in Reservoir, I think we know where that came from. Might have been shipped down from Oakley. But rolling on, Avondale, this week's opponent, with a 3-0 win over Dandy City. Avondale just keep rolling. Again, coming into the business point of the season, they are looking the goods.
Now, Dandy City are their bunnies, though. They always beat them. So, you know, I don't know how much it really tells us. I would say that on Friday, the Knights have got to shut down this new Argentinian they've got at the base of midfield. He's pretty good, and he dictates the tempo. Your focus is already, like, naturally going to be on the wingers and the forwards, the Valentini, Ahmed especially. Yeah. But you got to cut off the service if you're going to beat them.
Definitely.
Rather than focusing on trying to stay with them man-to-man, because you can't really. There's not many defenders one-on-one that can keep up with those guys. So it's more about pressing the midfielders and making sure that they can't feed those players. So I think that's got to be the focus for the Knights this week, is making sure that the strikers do that hard work defensively and helping out the midfield pair. Otherwise, they're going to get outnumbered.
Oh, look, it's definitely going to be an interesting fixture this Friday. No doubt about that at all. Dandenong Thunder with a 2-1 win over Eastern Lions. And Heidelberg with a 1-0 win over Green Gully. But the game, I guess, you're listening for us to talk about. Melbourne Knights with a, let's just say, interesting 3-2 win over Hume City, Josh.
Yeah, it was very eventful, wasn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. Look, I think we've got the highlights here. We'll have them going. But I think a tale of two halves, I think we got it as right just about as you can get it in the first half.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I mean, you come in, the boys were playing some fantastic footy, knocking the ball all over the park. You know, Felipe looked solid, Albano looked good, the midfield looked strong, Jose was knocking the ball around.
They looked refreshed.
They looked refreshed. That was probably the best half of football I've seen us play in two or three games.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you go in 2-0 up at the half. Felipe, again, fantastic work to set up the first. But Caleb, with a great finish for the first goal, puts us up 1-0. And then great run, and look, we are probably a little bit underdone there at his near post, but 2-0.
Good for a new signing from left back to get on the score sheet.
Fantastic.
So quickly. Fantastic. Very adventurous attacking run. He nutmegs the goalkeeper. It was very cool and calm to do that past the reigning goalkeeper of the year. So.
Yeah, look, and we've spoken about him before on the show. He is a fantastic keeper. But, you know, you go into the half, 2-0 up, probably unfortunately, you know, underdone by a bit of sloppy defending to let the first one in. But, you know, I think, again, a couple of chances that we missed, prove that, you know, they can prove the cost you in this league so, so very quickly. You know, boys go 1-0 up here, good bit of defending. Good bit of defending to keep out Hume. But overall, I think for your first game back from COVID, here's a goal we were talking about earlier, and bang. New signing as well, Joe. We had him on the show, Josh.
He did.
Seemed like an absolutely fantastic bloke, and now he's gotten his name on the score sheet in a couple of weeks from a left back.
Surprised he didn't take his shirt off when he celebrated. Look, mate, would have made it to his Instagram.
Look, if I had a rig like his, I'd never take my shirt. I'd never have a shirt on.
Barred from playing because he refuses to wear a shirt. Felipe with two assists was fantastic.
Fantastic.
Absolutely phenomenal. And you know, Fume storm back in the second half. You know, Bingham's been in terrific form for them. Every chance seems to go in. They've got weapons all over the park in terms of their fullbacks and their attacking midfield players who can always lay on assists. We saw that with Dixon with a cross with his weaker foot.
Yeah, well, look.
Finding the back stick.
Dixon does a funny thing. Since he left Knights to go to Hume, he's turned up in probably his best performance of the season every time he plays against us.
It's curious, isn't it?
Look, I don't think it's curious at all. I think he doesn't like us, and he turns up every time we play against him.
Yeah, that's
look, it doesn't help that first year or two he left, he, you know, probably received his fair bit of attention from the travelling supporters and the home supporters.
He's just getting his own back.
Gets his own back. And look, you got to respect that. I respect that, you know.
100%.
He turns it on. Great ball there for the second goal from Hume. But in the end, boys done maybe a little bit of help. You know, Borg Chulvasoy, as they say. done enough just to get the result in the end.
Yeah, look, I think the Knights were taking inspiration from the Euros. 5 own goals so far this tournament. They were just looking to feed the top scorer.
Most in history. Most in history.
It was kind of the same as all the own goals in the Euros as well, as firing across the box. Good things happen when you put that into the corridor of uncertainty, and Langlois couldn't really do much.
Nah, well, look, you know, he's gone to try and falch it out of the box sort of across his body and finished it straight past the keeper. You know, I mean, you hate to see it. Like, you really do. Like, I remember I was watching the feed, and my first thought was, that poor defender, how's he going to sleep tonight? I'm lying, of course. It was fucking fantastic, mate. Loved it. Back, own goal to win us the game. Oh, I love football. I love football. It is so good.
88th minute.
88th minute.
It was nice for the Knights to get a little slice of luck for once,
look, mate, you know what? When the gods are on your side, you take it and... Amen, as they say. Mate, look, I was jumping around my lounge room like nuts. at the footy on the TV, I was watching on my phone because my mates all love the footy, whatever. But, mate, jumping around like a madman. You got to love it.
Great.
Love it. 88th minute winner.
And, look, away to Hume City, that's a massive result.
Look, big result. Again, given the form that they've been in coming into, you know, look, obviously going into the break, Hume are playing some pretty good football, Bingham up front. Proven dangerous even tonight on Friday, coming away with a goal and an assist. A great pass first time as well to set up their second goal. But, you know, you take it. When it goes your way, you take it.
As you say, a game of two halves. Probably should have been a draw on the balance of play, but it will pinch that 3 points every day of the week.
But look, you know, it's football, sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. Every now and again, when you get that little bit of a favour that maybe pushes the result your way, you take it. I think the boys probably done enough in the first half to be 3 or 4 up instead of 2.
And they should have been, as we mentioned earlier, playing against 10 men for 45 minutes.
And that's the other thing. Look, we're going to go back to that again, but Howie stays on for that first yellow card, and I think the referee's probably gone in, had a look at it, and, you know, probably realised his mistake, and, you know, in the end he gets given a bit of a soft yellow.
Make-up call in the 81st.
Make-up call, but the difference getting that call in the 81st minute as opposed to, what, the 42nd? It's a completely different game of football then, mate.
Huge. And I think the referees were too focused on what happened in the melee afterwards than the actual original challenge. It was really strange. Like, he nearly cut him in half. Like, I know Felipe said he didn't quite connect on Petrov. Mm. If he had, he probably would have broken his leg.
Yeah,
so it's just
right.
as well that...
Just as well he didn't connect, but...
He flew him with 2 feet. It's the reddest red I've seen this season.
And look, for me, the ref probably had a good enough view of it. Maybe, look, again, maybe we talked about the footage before, maybe glossing a couple of things up. Maybe the footage made it look worse than it actually was. The referee had a pretty good view on it, but look, to me, looking at that, I don't know how the bloke stayed on the pitch. But... At the end of the day, we're coming into this week, first week out of lockdown, and we've got 3 points in the bag. That's the main thing. And again, 90 minutes of football into the team. You know, like you said a bit earlier, Josh, everyone looked pretty well rested and pretty fired up to be back on the pitch in that first half. And just hopefully we can roll that on to next week. It's probably going to be one of the tougher games we're going to play.
Yeah, I think Avondale's going to be a serious test. They've been in really good form, and they look to have continued that in their first game back.
Yep.
Look, they haven't always done it the easy way. They've had a couple of last-minute winners, and you know, a dandy Thunder game kind
of
springs to mind.
They've also conceded a couple of last-minute equalisers,
yes,
if I do remember correctly.
I think that one's almost lost to the mist of time because of the stream cut out.
Look, and that is why... The government should let everyone come to the game this Friday because
we can't rely on sports.
Sports car streams have had issues all season. Now, everyone's watching from home. Can you imagine the uproar if we miss a 95th minute winner again or an equaliser?
Hey, look, I did an FNR stream on the weekend. I had to produce it at the same time. It was quite a challenging balancing act.
But
I have
to be fair, Josh, you've been doing that for the night train most of the year.
That's true. But it is hard when you're out on the road and, you know, 4G reception is different at different grounds. The power situation is very dicey whenever you get to a new ground and you don't know whether you're going to have a generator or somewhere to plug your gear in. Mm. It's not the easiest operation in the world to pull off.
No, look, definitely not. But this is where I think more onus has to be put on the clubs. So there's a defined list of criteria of what you need to be providing. Well, Josh, I can only speak for ourselves, but we've got a room built up there for you.
Yep.
It's enclosed. You've got power. There's lights. There's whatever you need up there. You know, I'm not saying every club's got to dump 60 or 70 grand into building some top-notch facility, but, you know, at least enclose a scaffold and run an extension lead up there. Well, for God's sake, it's not that complicated.
No. I mean, you know, the waterproofing, you can waterproof a scaffold with tarps. Like it's
Yeah, it's not hard. It just takes, like, a minimal bit of effort, but...
And there's enough construction companies and sponsors at different NPL clubs. Every NPL club has a construction company.
I don't think I've seen too many construction sort of banners or anything up sponsoring any soccer clubs.
It's not as if it's only industry.
Man, it's like the construction industry props up soccer in this country.
Half
like they prop up everyone else's taxes.
And half the first team players are tradies. One training session.
Someone's got a Bunnings card where you can go down and get like 15% off that blue tarp and just wrap it up, for God's sake. It's not that hard.
No, I mean, look, you're preaching to the choir here, especially all the commentators who have to deal with some interesting conditions from week to week. But
Look, Josh, again, I can only speak for ourselves. We look
after
this.
It is a phenomenal operation. We get brought food. You are taken care of as a commentator at night. So that's why I'm looking forward to being back there on
Josh
Friday.
Is back this Friday. Guys, we're going to go to a short break. We'll have a bit of a chat about this Friday's game. And we'll hope to see you all down there. But we'll go to a short break and we'll have that for you when we come back. And welcome back to the show. Now, keeping in with the show's theme of being absolutely over the moon about coming back from the lockdown, we've got a video for you.
Yeah, we do indeed. Is this a little bit of a challenge?
A little bit of a skills challenge, something like that. So have a quick suss at this.
Nice punchline.
Oh, you love it. You love it. And again, you know, these little things that we all do, I'm sure everyone would have done during lockdown. You know, even I pulled the ball out and had a quick juggle in the backyard. I reckon it's been about 5 years since I've done that, mate. But, you know, we miss football. And it's great to see our juniors getting involved in a little bit of a skills challenge and having a bit of a laugh during the lockdown.
It was always the holy grail for me to try and do the Maradona 7.
Yeah.
This is a sort of slightly watered down version of that. Mm. Pretty tough on these kids to try. I still can't do it after all these years.
Oh, look, the only time we've ever done it was with a balloon inflated with helium, mate. And even then, I reckon I dropped it 3 or 4 times before I got it right. But again, that's why I'm talking about football, not playing.
Yeah, that's why we're sitting down.
It's a common thread, I think, in the FNR studios, Josh.
Great stuff. So much personality in those. You got the kids who were like really celebrating when they got it right. There were the real like attitude, sort of straight down the barrel of the camera looks, and then the classic, did I break something at the end?
Oh, look, a good little bit of a laugh there from our juniors. But again, just to recap the standings. After this round of football, Avondale top of the league with 29 points. Bentley in second place on 27 points. Heidelberg in third place on 26 points. Oakley in fourth on 24 points. Melbourne Knights moving up to fifth with 24 points. South Melbourne rounding out the top six with 23 points. Port Melbourne on seventh with 22 points. Eighth, Hume City with 21 points. 9th, Dandenong Thunder with 18 points. Green Gully in 10th on 16 points. Eastern Lions in 11th on 12 points. And rounding out the bottom three, we've got St Albans Saints on 10 points, Altona Magic on 7 points, And coming in at 14th and bottom place is Dandenong City on 7 points. The table's looking real, real interesting, Josh. If you look at it, between Avondale top of the league and South Melbourne in at six, there's 6 points.
Yeah, it's
real
tight.
It's so tight at the top of the table.
In hindsight, looking at the table now, that victory over Hume was really important.
It really was, because you look at it, us and Hume were tied on 21 points going into the weekend. We beat them, we jump up to fifth, they lose, they go down to eighth. And it's going to be games like that that are going to be the difference between who ends up playing finals footy this year and who doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, I think Avondale are on a bit of a tear here. So if Knights can get a result, it's really a bonus. It's those results for Knights around the teams in the same position, sort of third through sixth.
They're the ones that are going to be important.
They're the six-pointers for finals. And once you get into finals, you know, anything can happen.
Anything can happen. But look, mate, again, going into that, it's so tight that between Oakley in fourth position and, you know, Dandy Thunder, who's sitting in ninth, there's six points. 6 points between fourth and ninth in the league.
It's so tight.
It's so tight. Through that gap there, realistically, apart from the top three, you think are pretty settled with Avondale, Bentley and Heidelberg. You know, Oakley's got a chance to
I'm
kick
up. I'm not so
sure there.
About Heidelberg.
Oh, look, I think they play pretty safe. Look, they're never going to beat a team 5 or 6 nil, but to me, they're solid.
They weren't that impressive, but again, they won. So,
but again, Josh, some teams are impressive and throw up average sort of sets of results. Altona Magic, if you watch their games every week and had no idea where they were sitting on the table, you'd say they're probably in the top half.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they should be.
They should be. Realistically, they should be. But
you know, if
my grandma had wheels, she'd be a bike. They're 13th. It is what it is.
No, you're right. Look, if there's one team that's going to drop off in the second half of the year, I think it might be Heidelberg, but they just do have that Katsarkis gene where they just grind out wins.
Until I see them have that second half of the season drop off, I've been waiting for that for about 8 years now.
Yeah.
But I think they're probably settled as I think you're probably at a minimum your top one and two. I'd probably be back in Heidelberg to stay in the six. But, you know, really there from fourth down to ninth, there's 5 or 6 spots there that are going to get really tight, and games like the one we won over the weekend, you know, that's three very important points. We've done the double against Hume this year. Absolutely massive set of results for us.
Yeah, huge.
Huge. Coming into an absolutely massive game for us this Friday night. You know, like you said, it's not even so much about maybe even getting a win. I think a draw is probably a really good result for us at home against
that. Take a draw.
Oh, look, 100%. If you're offering me a draw now, I'd take it very, very much.
Then again, Avondale don't have a great record at Knights Stadium.
No.
It'd be a different story if it is behind closed doors.
Look, if it's with no fans, I think that's going to make a real, real impact. You know, our supporters, I think we've got the best supporters in the league, and they make our Knights Stadium a real tough place to travel. You feel the difference when they're not there to when they are. So, you know, hopefully if the government sees reason and opens up for Friday night, we can have a full stadium and really get behind our boys and maybe on top of theirs a bit and move the pitch in by a metre or two like we did a few years ago and get them a little bit rattled.
Look, I wouldn't be against it.
A few sneaky
handballs on the line if you have to.
Oh, look, Tyrion Ree, qualify as spec. Like, I'd take something. Like, that gets us a win. I'm putting my fist through this table next Monday.
But, look,
let's... I'm going to back us in for a 1-1 draw. I think we can get pinch the result. You know, I think Breezy's going to be absolutely massive for us this Friday, like he was in the reverse fixture. I don't know, maybe this is just my blind faith, but I can see us pulling a result here.
We didn't get your votes.
We didn't. Speaking of the votes, I'm going to throw out Felipe Sanchez for three this week. I think
it's a no-brainer, honestly.
Look, especially in that first half, I think he was absolutely phenomenal. A couple of good runs, pinched the assists, and mate, he's just going from strength to strength, it looks like, this year, and I'm really liking what I'm seeing from him. For two votes, I think I'm going to go with Breeze.
Sure.
Again, like, the boys conceded too, but I don't think either one you can really, really put on him. Again, his leadership to, you know, when you look at how the team played in that first, especially in that first sort of 45 to sort of 60 minutes, before Hume got back into the game with a couple of goals. I think his leadership from that central defensive position, just sort of keeping everyone calm, given the fact that the boys haven't played in a couple of weeks. It's their first hit out back here.
Wait, did you say Breeze? You mean Bryce?
Oh, Bryce. Sorry, Bryce. Yeah,
I was
Bryce,
really confused Bryce, for a second Bryce, there. Bryce.
Yeah, look, Russ, as mentioned at the start of the show. Yeah, look, I think he's...
Breeze, he played centre-back. I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Breeze all of a sudden grew a beard, head and hair, and grew maybe half a foot.
Bryce.
Okay. And Bryce, two votes, not Breeze. Breeze doesn't play for us anymore.
So. No, I was going to say, has he made a stunning return from a timer
That's it. Look, if he does come back, that's how I'm going to announce it. I'll give him votes for a game he hadn't played in the week before. Yep. So keep your ears tuned for that if it does happen again. But no, Bryce for the one vote. And I think I'll go Jules L for the one. I think he played, a pretty good game in the middle of the park. And he's probably had one of his better years for us, if we're going to be honest, to date. He's had some absolutely massive performances for us. And I think he put in a pretty solid shift in that first half to get that warrants the vote.
I think in some ways the team is built around Jizzy.
Look, I think it's built around that ball, that ability to have that one or two ball playing midfielders
in there. Not him specifically, but that, the style really suits him.
Yeah, I think Bebic, and this is where something that he's sort of changed, is that willingness to rely on him to be your primary ball handler in the middle of the park.
Mm.
You know, I think that instilled that bit of confidence in him, especially through the preseason and in his start into the year, that he wasn't trying to prove himself. He was coming in with a coach who's dealt with him before and backed him in.
Speaking of players who've had the team built around them, James Baxter coming through again. Tommy Uscock departing Western United. Could we see him back at the club? I think he would love to, but also he has professional aspirations still. So, you know, it's a toughie.
Oh, look, I'd definitely take him back.
I mean, obviously.
Imagine putting him next to Bryce.
I talked to Tommy when we went down to Tassie to cover Western United in their home away from home game, and he came up to me. All he wanted to talk about was Knights. So he's still heart still beats for Croatia.
Yeah,
but,
well, look, that's what you're going to get.
It might
with
be
Tommy.
A few more years before we see him back at.
You know, he was a Knights fan Stadium. Of the club long before he was a senior player, and you really do love to see that. But Josh, I think we'd be remiss not to mention the other absolutely massive soccer sporting event going on at the moment. The Euros.
Yes.
Where Croatia have been, to me, probably about as disappointing as pick any number of our grand final losses over the years.
It's
thoughts?
Absolute stinker Croatia have dropped. I had such high hopes going into the tournament.
Welcome to the club, mate. Oh. Welcome to the club.
So much ability in
that
squad.
Barring 2018, this is what it's been like to be a Croatia supporter for the last better part of 20 years.
I'm sure everybody has their opinion on what's going wrong and which players should be playing and, you know, which players should be dropped. But I just think Nikola Vlasic, after what he did in the qualifiers, not using him from the start against England was one of the worst coaching decisions I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, look, Zlatko Dalic has made a couple of decisions to this point in the Euros that make you think maybe he just caught a bit of a high in 2018 and happened to be managing the best midfield in the world.
Yeah, it seemed to me when they were having those huddles before extra time and penalty shootouts that Dalic wasn't talking much. There's a lot of Ivan Rakitic and there was a lot of Luka Modric.
Yeah, well, look, it definitely does help when you got two at the time.
You know what I call it? It's Raymond Domenech syndrome. When you've got such a transcendent captain and midfielder who actually coaches the team on the field, it doesn't matter what idiot is on the sideline.
Going to be an absolutely massive game for Croatia. You know, two big games of football in the Croatian community this week. Obviously, Croatia playing on Wednesday morning. The game will be being showed at Knights Stadium, but given our, you know, Supreme Leader's edict, 75 people inside, 75 people outside. So if you are interested in coming down to the Knights or Melbourne Croatia, rather, to watch the game, get in touch with the club and book in your ticket. Should be an absolutely massive game. I personally don't have overly high hopes.
Are you going to have Dave Davutovic there for Optus or is he going down to North Geelong?
Look. I guess
they're in the region, so.
They're in the region. I suppose you've got to give them to them. Mate, they
might get up and about when you've got those out of metropolitan Melbourne freedoms.
Yeah. God bless them and their you know, allowance to get out of the house for whatever reason they've wanted to for the last month or so. But, no, look, it's going to be a tough game for Croatia this Wednesday morning. you know, it's going to be interesting to see what Dulwich does with that starting 11. I agree with you. I think Vlasic definitely should have started that first game. We've got Jason James Baxter in the comments. Petkovic is a donkey. We'd be better off giving chances to Orsic. Look, I don't think Petkovic has done too much wrong. I think when, especially in the game he came on against England in, I think he did something. I mean, the team wasn't doing much beforehand, so I suppose you don't really have much of a baseline to compare his impact to, but...
He's a target man. He does what he does. He's not skillful, but... Nah. I mean, I think in some ways he's preferable to Rebic.
Yeah, well, look, and this is the funny thing.
Going
into tournaments like this, you know, I've seen it many times with Croatian teams. Players are performing well or very well or however for their clubs, but just when it comes time to put it together in, at an international tournament, the group stages are either an absolute dumpster fire or we fly through the group stages only to trip over our own feet somehow in the round of 16.
Well, so, you can still qualify. You could still beat Scotland. It still happen. I mean, there's this massive hole that has been left by Mandzukic especially.
Oh, look, when you look at the four retirees from the World Cup, you know, Rakitic, Ćorluka, Subasic in goal and Mandzukic up front, you're losing three of those blokes are absolute keys for us through that team. You know, Vasiliako, I think since the injury hasn't quite been the same player. Luka Modric is 3 years older. Kovacic, for the life of me, I don't understand how he seems to get picked to start every major game. I don't think he's put in too many brilliant performances in the Croatia shirt.
That guy has a silver spoon in his mouth. Just, people keep spoon-feeding him opportunities. Madrid.
I love him as a player. I think especially at Chelsea in the last couple of years, he's proven why he should be there. Technically, he's a great player on the ball.
Prodigiously talented. I just don't know if he has the ticker.
Look, I definitely don't think he's got the ticker, but...
He just sort of flatters to deceive. It's like
the problem is you've got him in the team for that one run he might be able to make where he can break a game open. But I've been waiting for that run since like 2016.
I think maybe his time should be up. But we'll see what happens.
I mean, I don't know. If he scores three against Scotland on Wednesday, we'll be coming in. I'll be putting my fist through the table again.
I think the F&R Furniture is in real danger.
Is in trouble this week, ladies and gentlemen. But
It's only Scotland anyway.
It's only Scotland. Yeah, I mean, the two best players of a generation, they're both left-backs. Look, turn it up, mate. Play one of them in midfield. You're playing one at left centre-back. You're playing old mate McSauce at centre-back.
They're playing a bloke from the Gold Coast up front. You know.
Yeah, I mean, how good can they be?
If they have to naturalise Australians to strengthen their squad, I mean, it's a pretty grim state of affairs.
Look, it's a grimmer state of affairs in their Scottish weather, to be honest, I'm picking. But, again, I reckon they're going to slap us this Friday. So, Wednesday, rather. What do I know?
I think it's fun to have a team who just plays complete chaos ball, just hammering in crosses.
Yeah, well, look, I think this is where, you know, Dulwich could actually prove he's some kind of a coach and maybe pick a bit of an interesting team for Wednesday's game.
Mix it up a bit.
Nothing's working at the moment. So, you know, maybe don't trot out the exact same starting 11 that hasn't got you a result yet.
We'll see what happens, but the game's being shown at night.
So come on down before work. Egg and bacon's going to... We'll have a bit of breakfast and coffees and stuff going. Come on down. And hopefully, if Supreme Leader Andrews allows us out of the home, hope to see you all at the club this Friday. Keep an eye on the club socials. As soon as we know, we will pass that on and let you know. But hope to see you all on Friday night. And the last comment for the night... If anyone's looking to back a multi in for the weekend, Johnny Cash with Croatia will beat Scotland 3-1. Melbourne Knights will win 3-2. That might be paying a bit, so if you fancy a flutter, maybe whack it on. Two exact scores. Maybe pay off your mortgage for the next 5 years. I don't know. But hope to see you all at the club this Friday. If not, look forward to seeing you all on the show next Monday. Good evening, everyone.
Gamble responsibly.
I think the Knights, their time has arrived. I think last week, that 10-man performance in the preliminary final was absolutely exceptional. So I'm going for the Knights.
But when you talk of Knights, it's a real fighting team.
Buskak into the back of the net. Melbourne Knights take the lead 1-0. Melbourne Knights will win the Doherty Cup.
Croatia looking for a finals burst. That's it!
The Croatia fans salute the goal that could be so vital.